We're doing Siman Tuf Mem Dalid, 444. It's on page 36. And we're up to line 3, the end of line 3, which is Sif Gimel. And let me just give you a little background. We started this yesterday. And we're talking about what's called Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. That means Pesach is Motzei Shabbos. The 15th of Nisan is on Sunday. And Shabbos itself is the 14th of Nisan, it's Erev Pesach. And again, Chametz is also, as we've said over and over again, from midday and on. And now he's got to fit in 3 Seudos somehow miraculously before the end of the Iser Chametz. And that was what we discussed at great length yesterday. Well, we're going to start our discussion today is with the question of what should you prepare for this Shabbos. So let's say, for example, you're on Friday, which is the 13th of Nisan, and you're cooking, your wife is cooking for Shabbos. So there's certain kinds of foods that inevitably get very stuck to the walls of the utensil. For example, there's something called past snuma. It's a hard bread, and when you prepare it, the kalim start getting stuck with pieces of bread. It's very hard to get rid of that. And now, you know, you've eaten your sudash lishit, let's say at 10 in the morning, you got up for vasikin that morning, and now you're stuck with chametz that's dovuk, that's attached to the walls of the kli. He gives another example called daisa. I guess daisa is what we would call
like corn.
I don't know about corn, I would call it farina or Quaker oats, oatmeal, all that kind of stuff. If you've ever made that, I make it in a finjan, you know, afterwards it's very hard to get off the pieces, they get stuck.
Right.
So therefore the Mechaber says, Ein mevashlin l'shabbos zu, if you're preparing for this Shabbos, I would not recommend daisa. Or Ein osin pas snuma bekara, because your kalim are going to get stuck with chametz attached to the sides of the kli, the inner parts of the kli. You don't want to go into Pesach, or for that matter, into the Iser chametz that's going to be chal midday, with that kind of chametz stuck to the walls of the kli. So therefore, avoid cooking such things. Now, if you take a look at the Mishnah Bura, number Yud Aleph, which is on the right side, towards the bottom, at 15 lines up from the bottom, he says, Dover should darko li dovek bekli, any kind of food. Dice is just an example of kinds of food that get stuck to the walls of the kli. And in order to get rid of the chametz, yitztarech lahadicham achar ha'achila. You'll have to clean it out very well with hot water or whatever kind of water you use. Mishum Isur Chametz, so you don't have chametz in these kalim going into the Shas Isur Chametz. V'asu. And you're in a no-win situation. Why? Because you're not allowed to clean the chametz off the kli. Why not? And the answer is, Kevan she'ein tzarch lahem, he doesn't have any function, any use with these utensils, the chametz sticky utensils, shuv, meaning after the Shas Isur Chametz, v'osu ayom. Now, in order to understand what he means here, he tells you to take a look in Siman Shin Chav Gimel Se'if Vav, which is in a different volume. So I'll just read to you what it says over here. Are you allowed to do Hadacha and clean Kalim on Shabbos? So the Mechaber says, Madichin Kalim Litzorech Hayom. So he's saying the following. After the first Suda, again, it's not like us, we have disposables and we have many kalim, we discussed yesterday. You need those kalim for the next Suda. So you ate your Friday night meal, you're allowed to clean the kalim for tomorrow. You ate your Shabbos morning Suda, and you still have Suda Shlishit, you have another meal to eat. Avol says the Mechavaliachar Suda Shlishis, after you finish your third meal, Ein Madichin Kalim. We don't wash Kalim. That's called Hachana because that's preparing it for the next day. Then the Mechaber goes on to make various distinctions. He says klishtia, if you're talking about glasses that you drink from, adichem kol hayom, because even if you're not going to have a suda, you might want to take a drink, and therefore you want to keep the kelim clean. So getting back to our Mishnah Bura, who sends me to this Sima, just give me a minute so I can collect my thoughts. He's saying the following, that on this particular Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, you want to avoid situations where after the Shas Isur, you're left with chametz sticky kelim, and there's chametz davuk, there's real serious chametz left over from your meal that's collected, that's attached to the walls of the kli. Normally, that wouldn't be a problem. Let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning, just clean the kli. But the problem is it's Shabbos, and there's an Isur of Hadochas Kelim on Shabbos, unless you're anticipating another Seuda, and therefore the Kelim have to be cleaned for the next Seuda. Now you've finished all your eating of Chametz, you have a Chametz Dika Kli, it's got clumps of Chametz attached to it, you're in a no-win situation. Now, before you ask me your question, Reuven, I just want to make sure that we understand that there are two concepts that are very similar in terms of cleaning kelim on Shabbos. One is called hadocha, and the other is called kinuach. Kinuach means to sort of like scrape it away. So you get the main pieces, the tangible pieces. You're able to scrape them off the kli. That's not a problem on Shabbos. The real problem is what's called hadocha. Hadocha means when you have to wash out the inside of the kli. It's not enough just to do kinuach. And that's what he's talking about now. He's talking about certain foodstuffs that get so stuck to the kli that the only way of cleaning them and getting rid of the chametz is through hadocha. But the problem is, hadocha on Shabbos is only permitted because you anticipate using these kli kelim in the next seuda. In the case of Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos, you have a problem because once you finish the use of chametz tzedakah kelim on Erev Pesach, let's say at 10 a.m., you can no longer use these kelim. So now you're in a no-win situation because on the one hand, you got to get rid of the chametz. On the other hand, you can't do adocha, which is necessary here to get rid of the chametz because it's Shabbos and you don't anticipate another suda. Go ahead, Rumi.
Yeah, so we touched on this yesterday. So I was curious what Shulchan Aruch Rav.
I didn't get a chance to look at the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Did you get a chance?
I looked at it, and just on this, he says, also, you shouldn't get yourself in a situation not to use kelim on dais. But Avar, if you
did b'di'evit post facto,
he says to wash.
Oh, so that we're going to get to in a minute. Okay. Let's see. We're only at the beginning of our limud. Yeah,
I think it's because the mitzvah does use it. I think.
So he says the following. Take a look in the Rambam. V'im avar ubishel. He went in and he cooked daisa. You have it? It's about five lines down from the top of the page. V'amaychol dovek b'kedera. Yeah? Are we on?
Yes.
Reuven, you look like you're looking for it. Five lines down from the top. So here's the situation. You use these utensils for cooking purposes, and now you have chametz that's dovuk to these utensils, this pot. Not only that, it's so problematic that efshal kancho. Do you remember I said to you before that if you could scrape it off, that's not a problem. That's not considered a tircha gedola. That's a relatively easy kind of thing, which you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But hadocha is forbidden. So the Rambam comes up with the following solution, or the following recommendation, sort of a compromise. He says, yesh la'adicho ma'at, rinse it off very superficially, as long as you can accomplish the following goal, lahavir hachametz.
Remove the chametz.
Exactly. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Bura, he says the following, W Yud Gimel, yefshel lekancho, im efshel bekinuach levad, if he could do it as kinuach, then we consider it litzorech, right? He has to get rid of the chametz, let him do the kinuach. If it would be shelo litzorech, that's also. But here it's litzorech because he needs to get rid of the chametz. But here, let's say kinuach is impossible, meaning it's not going to achieve your goal. So you have to do some, at least a minimum level of hadocha. Is therefore yesh ladicho ma'at. Here we're looking at the Mishnah Berurah Yudalei. But Zolomar rak bechdei sheyavra chametz. In other words, do the minimum amount of hadocha, as much water as you add, you know, to scrub off the chametz. The afal gav shehu shalol etzorach shabbos. You'll ask me a question. Well, he's not going to use this keli because it's already shas iser chametz. Sharina b'di'evet mishum iser chametz. So we're basically facing a collision, so to speak. A tug of war. There's on the one hand the Iser of Hadocha of Kalim that you're not going to use on Shabbos. On the other hand, we have the Iser of Chametz that you're not allowed to keep Chametz in your possession. So in this conflict, we're going to find the following compromise. We're going to be Matir Hadocha, but we're going to be very careful. We're going to say it's not like the kind of Hadocha that you'd be allowed to do from one Suda to another Suda on a regular Shabbos. That Hadoch we're not going to permit, because again, you're not going to use these Kalim for another Suda. However, we're going to allow that minimum amount of Hadoch that is absolutely necessary to get rid of the Chametz. Now the Mishnah Berurah addresses another, shall I say, fail-safe, another option of getting out of this problem. Why not tell the guy to do the hadocha on your behalf? Now here we're opening up a whole new sugya, which is called Amira Li'aku.
That's the trust was going to ask that. How can you ask him to do something which
that you yourself can't do? So he says the following. He says, "If efshar al yidei akum odif." In other words, we're allowing you to do something even without a guy. You yourself are going to do it. Even though it's hachana, and you're not going to use these kelim, but we're doing it for the sake of chametz. So there's a special matir, a special permission here for the sake of chametz to do on Shabbos what you normally would not allow to be doing because you're upsetting your shmirah Shabbos, your menucha Shabbos. So what we're going to do is, if we have all the choices in front of us, we're going to prefer doing it through a guy. Why? Because again, we don't want to upset your Shabbos. Again, there's a gzera of Amir Liakim, but Amir Liakim only applies when you yourself couldn't do it. Here in this case, you yourself could do it. We're not happy about allowing you to do it, but we have no choice because you went ahead and you make this daisa. Therefore, if you're allowed to do it, but you're only allowed to do it with a special heter that we're not happy about, and we're going to force you to do the minimum amount of work, the best option would be if you could ask a guy to do it. So we're going to go through all the possibilities of how and when you're allowed to use a guy. So let's just hold on for a minute. Now he gives the following etzah. He says that Tov sheyavashlu, he's not talking about chametz now, but anyway, he says Tov sheyavashlu bekelim chadoshim hamukhanim lepesach. He says if all options are open for you, again, not all the options are always open, he wants you to use new kelim specifically on this Shabbos that's Erev Pesach, because what he wants to avoid is any situation where you're stuck with these kelim that are chametz stick. And for example, kelim that are chametz stick are muktzah. So imagine if you were to wake up early on Shabbos morning, your second Suda after Hanetz, at, you know, let's say Hanetz was at 6 a.m., you know, you finished davening at 8 a.m., 8:30, and then you went ahead and you organized your second Suda. You finished your second Suda at 9:30, you know, you really chaplap a Suda. Again, I know Reuven's upset about that because it's not good for Shabbos, you know. But you ate a quick Suda, you took a walk around the block, that's Berzon's Eitzah. And then you came back and you washed for Suda Shlishis. You've got now from 9 o'clock until 9:30, or let's say 9:30 till 10 a.m., you know, to finish your Suda Shlishis. And now you're stuck with Kalim. So to the extent that you can use these kelim for non-chametz, right, then that's the best deal, because then these kelim are not chametz to ki kelim.
So you're suggesting that the new kelim should be Pesach, for Pesach.
Correct. And then you could put them away and you could use them during Pesach. You don't have a problem of kelim that you have to rush to put it away before the Shas Yisur. I'll tell you a story. My brother-in-law was...
Most people make it Pesach. These are people who do use Pesach.
Right. Okay, that's because of this Mishnah Berurah.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
No, for practical...
That's what he's saying. I think he's giving you a recommendation, I think, if I understand this correctly. Tov. You see the word Tov? Whenever you see the word Tov in a posek, it means this is what I would recommend.
Well, and also, you have the problem of putting away chametz. You have that's chachana of either preparing for...
Unless you need the space, in which case... You can put light, right? You can put things away. You need the space.
Yeah, but you have that problem.
Yeah. I just want to tell you a quick story. You like stories? My brother-in-law, may rest in peace, his name was Rabbi Eli Greenwald. He was tested at Yeshiva University for a smicha b'china, to get his smicha. And at that point, there was a panel of three Rosh Yeshiva that would drill you and question you for hours. It was gruesome. So one of the three was Rav Tzipperstein. So he asked my brother-in-law the following question. He said, on Shabbos of Chol HaMoed Pesach, if you get stuck and you need a kli, but you only want to use it... I'm sorry, let me go slowly. It's Shabbos of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and you ran out of kelim. And you want to use it for cold, for something cold. And he asked, are you allowed to climb up and open up the string or whatever that closes the closet and take down a kli that's chametz stick that you use the whole year round and use it for cold, but only on a temporary basis. Only for one meal. So again, let's go over it. It's cold and it's temporary.
But he's untying a knot.
No. It's not a knot that's tied. It's a knot that you just have to remove the string. Just remove the string. Today they do all sorts of things. They're these plastic scotch tape things that even after Pesach you don't know how to take it off. But I'm talking just in the old fashioned. They put a string around it or something.
That's it.
So this is one of the questions on his smicha b'china.
What does cold have to do with
it? Here's the case. Let's say this is a non-kosher bowl. Let's say it was used by me or by a guy for non-kosher food. So the law is, in Yoredeya, it's a very profound sugya, whether you're allowed to use it on a temporary basis for cold. Again, there are different opinions about this. We're not... I'm trying to...
When you
test someone for smicha, wait just one second, moving. I'm sorry, my voice is a little shaking. When you test someone for smicha, the bulk of the questions, meaning the ikar that you have to know about, is what's called Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, which are kashrus laws. And the average smicha student will spend at least a year of his life just dedicated to the kashrus laws. They're very complicated. So one of the issues in the kashrus laws is, are you allowed to use a non-kosher bowl or a fork or a spoon or a plate on a temporary basis for cold? There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about that. So what do you think the answer to this question would be? If you're only using it for cold and only on a one-time basis, one-shot basis, on Pesach.
What is one shot?
I mean, only one time.
If you're going to use it, you can use it. Why can't you use more?
So for that, you have to know you're a day, and they only allow you to use a non-kosher utensil if it's only on a one-time basis. Otherwise, we're afraid that you're going to use it constantly, and then tomorrow you put hot water in it. So they allowed you, if you really need it, with coal, and only for one time.
So here
that's called Derech
HaRoi.
Again, you know, we're not learning your day and
right.
The added information here is that it's Pesach. That's the only difference.
Well,
so what do you think the answer to the question was? Are you allowed to or not allowed to?
I think you're not allowed to.
Why?
I
need one word. And then you'll get smicha from Rabbi 12. He's not alive, Rabbi 12.
It's chametz.
It's muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Because you put the string around it. Once you put the string around it, that makes it muktzah. So it was a trick question. Because the way that Rosh Hashiva presented the question, he made it sound like you were asking whether the laws of chametz in Blias Kalim apply in the same way that they apply universally to the laws of Trefus and the Velus and Basa
B'Cholam. Did he get the answer right?
I think he did. I mean, he's not alive, so I can't ask him, but I'm pretty sure he got it right.
He
definitely got his smicha. I don't know if he got that question. I think he did get it right.
But even on Shabbos, the pots are viewed as muksa,
Once you put a string around it, it becomes muksa. So in other words, theoretically, what he could have done, if he thought, anticipated that he doesn't have enough kalim, he could have designated this kli, put it on the side, write the word chametz on or whatever, but designated for use on Pesach, but he'll have to use it again on a one-time shot. That's called Derech HaRoi, and also Vitzonet in cold. But he didn't do that. He didn't anticipate that he would need the kli, so he locked it up in his closet. Once he locks it up in his chametz liker closet, it becomes mukt. That's a sugya in Masechta Shabbos called Makta V'Yadayim. When you, like Grogus V'Tzimukim, in the old days that they did was they took grapes and they put it up on the roof. And the hot sun would beat down on the grapes and it would make it into raisins. But in the middle, during the process, it became very very sour. It was inedible. So the Gemara says that that's muktzah. Why? Because once he puts it up on his roof, then he puts it out of his mind because he knows it's going to take hours and hours until it becomes edible. But anyway, just telling you a cute story if you like stories. My favorite stories are Lubdisha stories. I love Lubdisha stories. They trick you with the question. They think, oh, it's about Yeridei. It wasn't about Yeridei at all. It was about Hilchos Shabbos.
You're thinking
of the wrong way. Okay. It kind of
reminds me,
right? So on this Erev Pesach Shachalios Peshabbos, he advocates, getting new kelim, and he says the following.
What does new kelim have to do with it if you have chametz in it?
Yeah, I guess he's assuming that this part of the meal he's not eating with chametz, that the bread is in a separate place.
That's right.
And daisa he's not making, because if he makes daisa, he gets to the problem of hadacha. Ukayom nogu b'kam b'kos v'nesein sh'achar tefila ochlim acholim karim shal chametz. V'achar chatzi ayom ochlim tavshilin chamin sh'omdu b'tanur v'nispashlu b'kelim shal Pesach. Look how complicated it gets. He says for the morning achila, he's going to use cold chametz, not hot cooked hot chametz. Because again, if it's going to use hot cooked chametz, the chametz is going to get stuck to his pot, and he won't be able to clean them. But once he finishes with that, and he gets rid of all the cold chametz, so we're going to have a whole discussion how he gets rid of it. Then he's up to the afternoon, and now he's eating hot food in Pesach de Kekalim. That's okay. Now, he says the following, that what he's going to use, what food is he going to use if he hasn't done what we said before and finished his third meal before Shas Yisr Chavetz? So we said that according to the Machab, the Ramah, you could eat peros, a dogim, basa, you remember all that? So all that, he says, in our minhag is pesedik, and he's going to eat that all from pesedik and kelim. So imagine he has to make the transition from chametz to Pesach, in terms of his kelim, in the middle of the Shabbos. So the best idea would be that if he uses chametz in cold, right, so he doesn't have this problem. Let's say they're a new kelim, he could just put them away. And now he has Pesach and Kalim for Suda Shlishit. Now what does he do with the leftover chametz? So that's the subject of this Mechaber in Sif Dalet. Achar she'ochal b'Shabbos Suda Shlishis, right? I'm sorry. Achar she'ochal b'shabbos zeh se'uda shachrus. Because keep in mind, the Mechaber does not recognize the possibility of eating the third se'uda in the morning. Right? It has to be after mincha. Do we remember that from yesterday? So he says the following. At this point, he's finished with chametz. His shalashus is going to be made up of non-chametz. So yinar ha-mapa she'ochlu ba v'yikaneach ha-karos b'yetzbo'o. So again, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get rid of any crumbs that are left from his chametzdika morning su'uda. And at the same time, he wants to minimize the kind of work that he's going to do on Shabbos. So what does he do with these karos? Yikaneach be'etzbo'o. So notice that there are two conditions that have to be fulfilled. First, he's avoided hadocha, and instead of hadocha, he has kinuach. And secondly, he doesn't even want to let you do the kinuach the normal way you would do it. Let's say you have a scraper or a knife. Instead, use your finger. This is all to make it clear that you're not doing a serious, normal malacha on Shabbos, because again, these kelim are chametzdik. And you can no longer use them on Shabbos. The yitmaneim min ha'ayin, he should hide them away. And shar klei ha'chavetz. Again, this is all before Shas Isur. This is during the Suda Shabbos. Now, if he missed the Shas Isur button, you know, if the clock already struck 12, then he can still use it, because we said yesterday ein muktzah l'chavtzi Shabbos, that something that was not muktzah going into Shabbos doesn't become muktzah on Shabbos. But then he says, "V'im nishar pas." What happens if he has a serious piece of chametz that he hasn't yet consumed, and now he's entering into Shas Isur, and now he wants to take it out of his reshus? Now we're not talking about an eruv here, so forget about eruv. Can you take chametz out of your house? Your house is reshus harabim. When you take it outside, you're entering into a reshus ha. Again, his house is called Rishus HaYochel. Right, he's not allowed to do that. I'm sorry, whichever it is, right? From Rishus HaYochel out to Rishus HaRabim. So you're going to violate Melechus HaTzah if there's no Eruv. So what are you doing with this piece of chametz that you want to get outside of your house? So he says, Yochel Litno Li'eno Yehudi. Now, this is a serious problem. Because if you're going to tell the guy to take your chametz from Rishus HaYochel out to Rishus HaRabim, that's called what? Amira Liaku. So he says you have to tell the guy the following: Al Menash Shalom Lotzeis Bo Rishus HaRabim, and you have to tell him don't take it out into the Rishus HaRabim. Derech HaRoma, and he really is fooling us, meaning he really means that the guy should take it out to Rishus HaRabim, but he's telling the guy don't take it out to Rishus HaRabim. V'davar Muot, a small amount. So let's learn the Mishnah Berurah here and see what's going on here. If you take a look on the top left, and we're up to Tesvav, he says, Yevaira Mapov, also Pirurim Dakim. He says, those small crumbs, Vikinuach HaKaros, and if it's a very small amount of, you know, chametz that he's scraping off the walls of his utensil, ain't sarach lotzia mershusa. That's not a significant amount. Small volumes of chametz. Dinidrosim beraglav umizbarim be'alehem. This is very interesting. The lady folk are not going to be too excited about this, but what he's saying is that you don't have to worry about these crumbs or small pieces of chametz. People are going to step on them, and they're no longer edible. And that's bir chametz. That, for all intents and purposes, is a destruction of the chametz. The real problem is going to be if he has a serious piece of chametz. What is he going to do with that? Once again, we don't sweep the floor on Shabbos. Again, I don't know. We do sweep floors on Shabbos. I don't know in your house if they sweep floors on Shabbos.
The floors are different.
Yeah, if the floor is very dirty, you want to sweep the floor.
These are dirt floors.
So you have a serious issue of sweeping the floor, because Chazal did not allow you to sweep floors on Shabbos. But here you have pieces of chametz, crumbs of chametz, so the Mishnah Berurah allows you to tell the guy to sweep the floor. Now we just finished saying that you can't tell the guy to do what, that which you're not allowed to do. So he says the following, Elo Akum, if he didn't have a guy, Yechabe Biatzma, Yede Shinui, Bibeged. In other words, instead of using a normal broom, he used some other kind of a garment to sweep it up, and that's already called a shinui. So with regard to the Isur of Kibud, of sweeping, they allowed you to do it b'shinui, if it's necessary, and therefore you can tell the guy to sweep it up. Even though, again, the guy is not going to sweep it up with a shinui, he's going to sweep it up with a broom, but since the Etzem HaMaisa is mutter, although albeit in a different way, a different method, a different style, you're allowed to tell the guy to do it. And this is all for the sake of getting your chametz out of your house. But again, technically speaking, he says, if the chametz is now dispersed on your floor, and people are going to step on it, a small piece of chametz, then you don't have to worry about that. But now we're talking about a piece of chametz. You can't just let it fly on the floor, let it fall on the floor. So now you want to get it out of your rishus. How are you going to get it out of your rishus if your rishus is a rishus ha-yochid and the outside of your house is a rishus ha-rabin?
Kick it out.
No, I don't think you're allowed to kick it either, if I'm not mistaken. Because that would be an isa shvus derabbanan of Al-Fonsar. But I think what you're allowed to do is get the guy's help over here. Now, how do you get the guy's help if you're not allowed to do it and there's a violation here of Amir Liakum? So the Mishnah Berurah reads the Mechaber very carefully, not the way we read it. We didn't read it so carefully. And he says, Yochel litno li'eino Yehudi. Now, if the Mechaber is talking about telling the guy to bring the chametz out, he shouldn't have used the word Yochel litno li'eino Yehudi. What is litno? To give it to the Eino Yehudi. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says that, you know what the Mechaber has in mind? V'matana gemura. You're giving the guy a gift.
Garbage.
You're giving him a piece of chametz. And now who owns the chametz?
The guy.
The guy owns the chametz. And the Gemara says, L'chaya t'arav al t'arosh al acherim. You're allowed to see the chametz of a guy in your rishus. Now normally, are you allowed to give a gift on Shabbos? We don't give gifts on Shabbos. That's called the Issa Kinyan. That's the last mission of the Seth
Debates. Is there a Kinyan with a guy?
Sure. Certainly as a kinyan with a guy. V'sharina le b'shabbos l'tzorach mitzvah k'dei shelo yei chametz b'shuso. So he sends you the siman shin vav. Okay, that's again in a different chelik of Shulchan Aruch, and that's an entire siman that's dedicated to the isur derabbanan of shvus on Shabbos. And there's a whole discussion here about what you're allowed to do on Shabbos. For example, you're not allowed to talk on Shabbos about tomorrow, about Chol, but if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, then, again, I'm not saying it's a blanket heter, but you're allowed to talk about a mitzvah. So, let's say you want to hire someone to tutor your child Gemara. Here in Israel, it's very common. I don't know in America if it's so common. Because here in Israel, you're required to take 5 units if you go to a yeshiva high school of Gemara in order to get your diploma, your bagrut, what's called. So very often the children are not so sharp and they didn't learn Gemara properly for whatever reason. That's a whole long discussion. I gave an Onik Shabbat about this in Ranana a few months ago. I was scholar resident. So they're not turned on to Gemara learning. And now they have to study 5 yechidot for the bagrut. So inevitably, it's great for kids who are a little bit older, they need an extra buck, or here we call it extra shekel, so they're hired as tutors. So basically, you're allowed to hire a tutor on Shabbos, even though in B'davu Dova we don't speak about money on Shabbos. There are other cases where they allowed you, for the sake of a mitzvah, to do certain things which normally are not allowed. Like in our case, we're talking about telling a guy to do out to do something which you yourself can't do. Here you have a whole sif about asking an Eino Yehudi to notify the bereaved. Well, I shouldn't call it the bereaved because they don't know yet that their relative died. But he would have to go chutz l'tchum outside of the Alpayim Amor to tell these people that they should come tomorrow or at Motzi Shabbos, whenever the funeral is going to take place. So once again, we're talking about Amir Eliakum, but Litzorach Mitzvah. And again, it's a very complicated Simon. Anybody who wants to learn it, please take your time and learn it.
You'll Where was need, the you'll reference to that halacha in here?
Oh, I got it from the Mishnah Bura here at the end of Tes Zayin. And here he's applying this rule of Amir Eliakum Litzorach Mitzvah.
I'm sorry.
Not a mir liyakum litzorach mitzvah. I'm sorry. Matana litzorach mitzvah. In other words, I'm allowed to give the guy the chametz as a gift, which normally would be prohibited, but it's only a shvus derabbanan, and a shvus derabbanan is mutar b'makom mitzvah. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just made a mistake. I mentioned a mir liyakum.
It's okay.
The mitzvah of Taisbis is a dreitzah, no? And so we had this versus a shavuos of the Ruba. So it's not really a
we don't usually violate a shavuos, but Litzorach mitzvah we're allowed to violate a shavuos. Again, I'm not going to tell you that any shavuos and any mitzvah, but you know, you have to know Siman Shin Vav. In this case, the Mishnah Berurah claims, again, you'd have to go through Shin Vav to see that the Shavuos of Matana would be Mutar B'Makom Mitzvah.
So we have an Asay Docha Motaisa.
If you want to call it that, if that helps you, Ruben. I think in different terms, but I think in terms of Shavuosim. Because the tremendous sugyas in Shavuosim, you could spend months on this. When and under what circumstance do we allow a Shavuos? For example, are you allowed to tell a guy to turn on the air conditioning in a very hot shul on Shabbos? So what we have is the Tzorach Mitzvah of Tefillah, and on the other hand, it's Amir Eliakum. So you really have to know your beans for this. You know, this is not, I was speaking before about the Smicha Mechina. I can imagine drilling someone just on this issue of when, under what circumstances can we override a Shavuos on Shabbos?
Or maybe how to.
For example, Litzorach Refuah. Are you allowed to be Matir Shavuos Litzorach Refuah? Are you allowed to be Matir Shavuos on Bein HaShemoshes Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemoshes Motzi Shabbos? Every single category is a study unto itself. Then there's something called Shavuos Dishavuos, which means that I do a Shavuos, but I do it Kelach HaYad in an unusual way. So Shavuos Dishavuos, but Makom Mitzvah might be allowed. Then you have to know about Amir Eliakum. I mistakenly mentioned Amir Eliakum. Here we're talking about Matana. Matana is a classic shavuos, but Amir Eliakum is a much more high-grade shavuos. You know, there's certain coolers that we can be makil in a regular shavuos, but we're not going to be makil in Amir Eliakum. I'm just telling you, the concept of the shavuos on Shabbos is a very, very complicated. That's why I don't want to use Esei Dochalosas or any of those terms, because that would be reducing something to, you know, it would be oversimplifying something. All right.
So in certain areas where they have they drive around in cars and they can
that might be pikuach nefesh, maybe. Is it a security issue? What do you mean they drive around cars? Why are they driving around cars? For security purposes?
Well, I don't know.
Because like in South Africa, for example, they I was in Johannesburg. I mean, you can't believe what kind of security is going on there. And they have children, not children, but I mean young adults, you know, teenagers who walk around with sticks and stuff in the Jewish neighborhood. You know, they do all sorts of things there for security purposes. And here in Israel also, you know, we have to be very careful about security. They allow people to carry guns, for example. Normally gun would be a classical case of muktzah. But we're gonna try to be matir muktzah litzorach security. But I don't know what you had in mind. What did you mean that?
We have vans that come and pick up medical personnel in our neighborhood. We have no traffic in our neighborhood. The streets are closed. But we have vans that come and pick up.
But I would bet you, Phil, I'm not sure, but that the drivers are not Jewish.
They're not Jewish.
Yeah, I guess.
They're not Jewish.
And see, I'm a novice. I am a pop. Okay.
Even at Tzola in New York, the drivers are all goyim.
They're all goyim.
Yeah. Why would you presume?
Okay, but the Hatzolah people are Jewish.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's interesting. I lived for a year in a place called Hollywood, Queens. It's right near Jamaica States, if anyone's familiar. And it was interesting. There were two Hatzolah guys in the shul, One of them was my son. The other one was a Talmud of mine from my yeshiva where I taught him. And used to hear in stereo, you know, what was going on, because my son was on the right side and this guy was on the left side, and they both had their, you know, their Motorolas, whatever they call them, you know. Now we're up to the Mishnah Berurah Yud Zayin, and let's just read the Mechaber again. The Mechaber says, Al Menashe Shelo Latzeis Bo. In other words, he's giving it to the guy, and he's telling the guy that he doesn't have to take it out into Rishus Rab. Lav Dafka, he says, Ratzalomer Shalom Menas Latzeis Bo V'Afilu B'Stoma Shari. He doesn't have to make a condition with him and says, I'm giving you this gift of Chametz on the condition that you don't take it outside. He doesn't say anything. That's fine. Ulafuki, but what he's not allowed to do is Hecha Di Omelo Liso Behedja. If the Jew tells the guy, I'm instructing you to take this outside, the Asa Mishum Shvus, the Amir Liakum. That's already a violation of Amir Liakum. So therefore, you have to make sure not to tell the guy explicitly to take it out. Now again, the guy already made a kinyan on it, because we're talking about a matana. But nevertheless, you're not allowed to keep the chametz of a guy in your reshus. That's interesting. Why can't you keep the chametz of a guy in your reshus? So I think what he's saying is that since before you gave the guy the chametz, you were obligated in destroying the chametz, therefore you have to get it out of your house. So by telling the guy to take it out of your house, you're violating Amir Liakim Shvus. He says, when we call a kombal nefesh, if you're very strict, then Roy Shiasni Mamanashalola Hotzi, you should actually say it out loud, explicitly, I don't want you to take this out to the Rosh Hashanah. And all this is called Derech HaRama. So we'll try to understand what Derech HaRama means. Now, Yud Ches, Rosh Hashanah, but the Karmel is the Ein Elish Fus Muta.
I just don't understand. About HaRama, you're hoping he does the opposite? Is that it? Or no?
I don't know. Let's wait to get. What is Derech HaRama? I told you we don't know what Derech HaRama is.
So, okay, so I'm trying to understand what
Derech HaRama is. We don't know what Derech HaRama is, but we'll bleed Ender. We'll know in about 5 minutes. But first, what we have to know is something else. This is very fascinating. I told you that outside of his house is what?
Rishud Aram.
That's not usually the case. There are cases like that.
Because there could be a courtyard out there that's his.
Right. A courtyard, again, we'd have to learn tons of stuff here. But a courtyard is usually, not always, what's called a karmelis. Now, a karmelis is a shvus. Now, to carry something out to a karmelis would be a violation of one shvus. But to tell a guy to carry something on your behalf out to a karmelis, that's a second shvus. So you have an overlap of two shvusim, and you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. That's called shvus to shvus b'maka mitzvah. So he says the following. Aval Karmel is the Eino El Shvus Mutu Afil Lomelo Behedja. See, this would be an interesting quiz question. When are you allowed to tell a guy to do something for you on Shabbos that you yourself would not be allowed to do, and tell him to do it for you? The answer is there are three conditions that have to be met. Number one, there's one Shvus. Number two, there's a second Shvus. And number three, it's Litzorach Mitzvah. So number one, there's one Shvus because it's a karmelis. Hotzah from Rishus HaYachid to a karmelis is only a shvus. Number two, it's a second shvus because it's Amir Liakum. You're not taking it out to the karmelis. Who's carrying the chametz? It's a guy. And number three, it's b'makom mitzvah. You're only doing it for the sake of getting the chametz out of your rishus. The ayin v'siman shin mem hey. Again, you have to learn Hilchos Shabbos. The yesh deos paposkin the shus harabim who dafka b'shishim ribu who call ayoros shalonu karmelisim. There's one opinion, which I believe is Tosus at the beginning of Shabbos. He says that a shus harabim is only if there's shishim ribu. I don't know if I've ever seen a shus harabim. I guess maybe Broadway in New York is Rosh Hashanah, I don't know. But Shishim Ribui, that means within the course of Shabbos, 600,000 people pass through that area. Ocean Parkway, for example, in Brooklyn is a gigantic boulevard. But I don't know if there's Shishim Ribui. I don't know, maybe.
I think Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, they said that parts of New York are Rosh Hashanah. Brooklyn, Ocean Parkway was one place, I think.
Yeah. Maybe she should read it. If you can't, all the cars that come by.
And Times Square, yeah.
But imagine this back in the days in the Mishnah Berurah. It's probably unheard of, Shishim Ruvi. I mean...
Right, so he's saying that we can rely on that sheet and consider that all our cities in Radin, in Poland, in Lithuania, they're all called the Carmelists. There's no Rishus HaRabim in our Gegin, in our areas. And therefore he says that if you rely on the fact that every public area in the cities that we're familiar with in Poland, you know, 100 years ago, they're all Carmelists, they don't have Shishim Ribui, then you can activate this principle of Rishus Rishus B'makom Mitzvah. Tell the guy to take your chametz outside of your house. You can tell him explicitly, because number one, it's a Karmelis. Why there's no Shishim Ribui? Number two, it's Amir Liyaka, which is itself a Shmuz. You have a Shmuz piggybacked on top of a Shmuz. And number three, it's Litzorach Mitzvah. And now we get to Ruvain's question. What is this Derech HaRoma? What's that about? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ratzal Lomar, the after Daito Hoyesh Yotzienu Lachutz Mikomakom Shari Kevetsheinu Omer L'mol Behedja. He says the following. On the one hand, if you would interrogate the Jew and ask him to be honest, what does he hope the guy is going to do with this chametz? Right, he has to get the chametz out of his house, out of his rishus. So he's hoping the guy will take it out of his rishus. But he tells the guy, "I don't want you to take it out of rishus," or alternatively, says nothing. That's called derech harama. So sometimes you can tell the guy X, but he's clever enough to understand that you mean Y. And that's called Derech HaRoma. Now Derech HaRoma is not mutter, but in this case, that it's only Amir Li Akum, and it's only into a Karmelis, and it's Makom Mitzvah, so the Mechaber says you can do it Derech HaRoma. So again, your purpose is, and your goal is that the Chometz will be removed by the guy out of your Rishus. But you're not going to tell the guy that, so that you don't even come near violating Amir Liakum. It's only a Derech HaRoma, but we're going to allow it for the sake of a Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah. Yeah, Ruvain, good?
You have to know who you're talking to, I think.
Well, here in this case, you're not talking. Meaning, what I mean to say is that you shouldn't tell the guy one way or the other. Certainly you don't want to tell him take it out of the house.
We had a maid in South Africa. She didn't have to be told anything. She knew what to do.
Right. But I don't know how often she experienced Erev Pesach Shalios B'Shabbos, you know.
But even a professional Shabbos girl, you know what to do without being told explicitly.
This over here.
We had a guy who worked in our shul. He knew Yiddish better than most of the people in the shul.
Practically, sort of this whole sugya doesn't even apply to me. All right?
Why? Because you eat Pesachdik.
We ate on Erev Shabbos when we were at home. We ate Pesachdik, right? And we had a little table, like a TV table, where we made Motzi on, right? And we made it our business to eat everything that was there, and then the crumbs that were left, you throw into your backyard or whatever it is.
Oh, so we're going to talk about what to do with the crumbs. What time is it now?
I need to go.
Oh, okay. I'll just finish up for anybody. Mel, you want to stay another 5 minutes? Okay, go ahead, Ruvain. You go. So he says the following.
Sorry.
He says, Dover Mu'at, right? We the Mechaber said that you're allowed to shake off your tablecloth and allow the crumbs to fall on the floor. That's called a Dover Mu'at. He says, Amal Harbe. But he says, if you have a large volume of chametz, that's asur. Okay, just one second. Let's see what I want to get to here, because there's a lot of details here. I just wanted to get to one thing that's important for us. We want to talk about just one second. All right, you know what? I know there's one particular point that I wanted to get to, but maybe we'll just go through it line by line. We'll spend another few minutes. So we're looking at the Mishnah Berurah number Chaf. Right, the Mechaber says, Dover Mu'at. He says, Amal Harbe Asur. In other words, you mentioned before, Mel, that the non-Jewish woman knows exactly. That's not necessarily good news. Why? He says, because if it's obvious that you want the guy to do something on your behalf, that's already comes under amili haku. And that's why the Mechaber is differentiating between a small amount of chametz and a large volume of chametz. What is the guy going to do with a large volume of chametz if you give it to him as a gift? He's obviously going to take it home. So therefore, harbei osur. That's equivalent to telling the guy to take it out. He calls it muchacha milsa, shenosein lo lahotzion. That the reason he's giving it to him as a gift is because he wants to take it out of the house.
Well, that's the only way he's going to take. Yeah, unless he eats it there himself.
Again, it's such a large volume. You know, what's he going to do? You know, even if the guy wants to get drunk, how much whiskey can he drink? Or right. You know what I'm saying? So he says, "Umiu dover muot muto liten lo afilu kama pa'amin." This is an interesting haroma because he's giving him a large amount, but he's giving him piecemeal. The alkol panim eino ela haroma v'shari. You know, as he realizes, and the guy realizes that after you accumulate, you know, one piece of chametz with another piece of chametz, you're going to finally get to the point where it's a large volume, and there's no other option but to take it out of the house. Okay, now the Mishmur wants to know what constitutes a dover mu'ud. How do you measure it? Hukidei se'uda achas. He says that if it's up to one se'uda's worth, then it's called a dover mu'ud. So you're allowed to give it to the guy as a matana, and it's a dover mu'ud. And even though you yourself are interested that the guy take it out of the rishus, nevertheless, we're going to allow a shvus b'makom mitzvah, meaning we're going to allow you to take a small amount of chametz, give it to the guy. It's enough for one suda, knowing full well that the guy is going to carry it out into rishus harabim, even though he knows what you're going to do. And you know what he's going to do, but nevertheless, you didn't tell him explicitly what to do. And it's a dover mu'ud. So in the case of a dover mu'ud, we're allowed to use this harama, and even though we know what's going on here, but it's derech harama. I haven't made it crystal clear by explicitly stating that I want him to take it out. Uber karmelis. But if on the other hand, the guy is taking out Yechomets from Shusha Yochin, not into Shusha Rabin, but rather into a Carmelis, then already we can apply the principle of Shvus to Shvus Mokka Mitzvah, and we can tell the guy to take it out. If Yeshul Chomets Harbe v'cheder miyucha v'shachach limkar oso b'yarev Shabbos, sorach litno b'matonel l'nochri. So now he's in a very difficult situation. He didn't get a chance to sell a certain room's worth of chametz, meaning the chametz in that room. So what he's allowed to do is, even though it's Shabbos and we don't give him a ton on Shabbos, he's allowed to give him a ton on Shabbos in order to fulfill his mitzvah of getting rid of his chametz, even though it's Shabbos. V'yachol litno l'nochri makiro mu'odo she'odebo she'yachzir lo achar Pesach. He's allowed to give it as a gift to a guy, even though he has a close relationship with this guy to such an extent that he knows that the guy's going to return him back his whiskey after Yontif. Because you might think in that case it's really a fiction and it's really Rotzon B'Kiyumo. He really wants the chametz to... He doesn't want the guy to eat up the chametz, consume the chametz. But nevertheless, you still have to make sure that you give the guy a kinyan, meaning a valid kinyan. What's a valid kinyan? A metaltalin, immovable objects. It's hagbah meshicha. Shem shichenu ha'akum l'rshuso. Meshicha means he has to take it into his rishus. Hagbah means he has to lift it, I believe it's a minimum of 3 tfachim. V'yim ha'chefetz ha'chametz gav. If it's a large volume of chametz, you can't just pull it. Is yachnelo b'mesira samafteach. What he does is he wants to sell the guy all the chametz that's in one particular room. It's too much chametz to expect that the guy will take it, will pull it into his rishus. then he can be machzeh to him all the chametz with mesiras mafteach. Now I have a suspicion, but well, let me see if before I put my foot in my mouth, let's see if I'm right. He doesn't spell this out. So I'll tell you what I think is going on here. When you give the mafteach over to the guy, and the guy has access to the room, I think what's going on here is that you're being machmir the chometz with the kinyan chotzer. But let's see, another possibility crossed my mind. Maybe it's not a kinyan chotzer, but it means that the mishicha will take place in the future. Notice, as long as I make it possible for the guy to do a mishicha, and I give him access to all the chometz by giving him the keys, that's already the beginning of a mishicha. Now, what about the fact that I'm doing a kinyan on Shabbos? He says, "Letzoch mitzvah, it's mutter." V'im yorei lite matona shem lo yachzul. Is there any way out for some situation in which he's got very expensive chametz, and he's afraid that if he gives it as a gift to a guy, he'll never get it back? Is yesh me'achronis shemitzadim yochel gam limkar li akum? He's allowed to ask a price from the guy. Now that's really mekach u'memkar, which is also on Shabbos. You know, we don't want to sell things and get money for it on Shabbos. He says, "Lo mikri mekach u'memkar Shabbos kevin she'eino osa el li notzel mi iser chametz." Wow! In other words, mekach u'memkar means when you're motivated to make a profit. That's what the Rabbanan asked as a shvus on Shabbos. But if your motivation is not to make a profit, you're not in business here. But rather, you just want to circumvent the iser of having chametz in your rishus and owning chametz. In such a case, you're allowed to sell it to a guy. I don't understand how you're allowed to violate the iser of a dabru davar. I guess we're actually removing or permitting two different an overlap of two different prohibitions on Shabbos. Number one, mekach u'memkar per se is also on Shabbos, and we're saying it, but here he's not doing it litzarach mekach u'memkar. And number two, v'dabru davar, you're not allowed to talk divrei chol on Shabbos. And I guess l'tzorach mitzvah, you're allowed to talk. Like we said about hiring a malamed on Shabbos. He says, "Aval kamach ronim cholkem al zevedaitin de mechira asur v'chol gavni." We're not going to permit you to actually sell the chametz to a guy. And here on page 37, or Yutes, he says, "Afilu ein lokech mos min klal." Even though the mos have not come in yet into his rishus, they decide on a certain price. They agree on a certain price. Or instead of agreeing to a certain price, they sell it according to market value. It's like when you sell a used car, you look it up in the index. What's it called?
Blue Book, Kelly's Blue Book.
Yeah, the Blue Book, the index. He says even that's prohibited on Shabbos. Even though they didn't mention the sum, because they know what's written in the books, is therefore he shouldn't be machne him with mos, but he should do it with one of the various kinyanim. So therefore, he has to sell it in a way that's not a real sale. Again, the best option would be to give it to him as a gift. If he's afraid he won't, the guy is going to abscond with his chametz and he's going to take a tremendous loss, he can sell it to him. But he's saying when he sells it, he should not mention exactly. No, I'm sorry. He should not sell it with mos, but rather he should sell it with echad midarkei haknoya, which was we said before was either meshicha or hagbah, and the chachamim would not be happy about this if he sold it with mos, which would be a mekach u'memkar gomur, because that's a violation of a shmuz. But if you're doing it in a low key way, meaning only with meshicha and hagbah, without setting up a price, that is mutter b'makom mitzvah for the sake of selling your chametz so that you don't violate b'al yirah b'ayin matzah. So let's just make a note that we got up to Se'if Hey, and Belinetta will pick this up tomorrow. Thank you very much.